You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Dave Shepard. He's coming to you live from New York City. And we've already been here since 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. In an hour from now, I got to shut up. I got to leave. I'm going to turn my mic off, and I got to go. And then Amy Lawrence is going to come on, and she's going to be awesome. But until then, I got more talking to do. We had a caller on the other side of the break. He had a question about, he didn't have no beef with us, but maybe he did. Speaking of beef, for whatever reason, Charles Barkley and Kevin Durant, they still have a beef. I didn't know that it still existed. Lamar Jackson is beefing with the Ravens. He reportedly, or at least publicly, said he doesn't want to be there anymore. And then we're just waiting for the Final Four. It can't get here soon enough. So if you've missed a minute of the show, you can always hit rewind on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. I appreciate you for listening. All my folks at work, all my truck drivers, Uber drivers, first responders. We got people listening in the back of restaurants and bars. We got people at the airport tuning in. We got hospital workers, factory workers. If you are at Amazon right now at the facility, congratulations to you. Don't steal nothing. If you do, send it to my house. I don't care what you're doing. Thank you for being here. You could always listen. Audacy, I told you. You can tune in on your local affiliate. You can lock in Sirius XM channel 158. And by the way, if you do work at Amazon, you might have an Alexa in the building. Just, you can yell at it and ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. It's very simple. And so I'm going to be here, as I said, for one more hour. And it's been a busy one. We've been talking about March Madness and all of the new schools that we've never seen participate in the Final Four. And I think it's good. I don't see a damn thing wrong with it. And then we continued on with Lamar Jackson, letting the whole world know that on March 2nd, he said that he wants out of Baltimore and that it's a business decision because the Ravens don't value him. And he decided to put this message out while his head coach, John Harbaugh, sat down with the media. And immediately, he was asked about Lamar's tweet, and this is what Coach Harbaugh had to say.
I haven't seen the tweet. It's an ongoing process. I'm following it very closely, just like everybody else is here, and looking forward to a resolution. I'm excited, thinking about Lamar all the time, thinking about him as our quarterback. We're building our offense around that idea, and I'm just looking forward to getting back to football, and I'm confident that's going to happen.
Yeah, we talked about that extensively earlier on in the show. I'm not so certain that Lamar Jackson will be gone. This is just a matter of negotiations. We did get a report from all people, owner of the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft. He said that musician Meek Mill reached out to him via text to let him know that Lamar wants to be a Patriot. And Robert Kraft's response was, that's up to Bill Belichick, you know, what he wants to do. And as of right now, I haven't heard a damn thing about Bill Belichick trying to bring in Lamar. Bill Belichick, obviously, he was at the owners' meetings as well. And Belichick was asked about free agents. We know this was about Lamar. And Bill Belichick gave one of his Belichickian responses.
We do something we think can help the team, then we'll do it, given the context of whatever it is. But, yeah, we're not afraid to do whatever we need to do that will help the team, whatever that is.
Man, there's beef all over the place, right? We got Belichick always beefing with the media. You don't want to be there. I'm just here so I don't get fined. You got Lamar Jackson beefing with the Ravens. Okay, fine. we had a caller who felt that we were beefing with San Diego State. I'm like, well, I ain't got no beef with San Diego State. What they do to me? I got beef with them because I didn't think they'd get this far? Well, what am I, the law? I was wrong. Here they are. They might win. Congratulations. I mean, I got a problem with them. And then there's even more beef. You know, last night I went to, or Sunday night, I went to the game to see John Morant play the Hawks. I checked the game out. And I saw John Morant out there. He's getting love. His dad is signing autographs. It's just, it's like, oh, it's all love for John Morant. But then when I got home late at night, I saw 60 Minutes. Yeah, I watched 60 Minutes. I love it. And the next thing I know, I see Charles Barkley. I'm like, why is Charles Barkley here on 60 Minutes? And he's talking about college sports, and he's talking about Kevin Durant. And I'm saying to myself, this man still has beef with Durant? This is what Charles Barkley had to say about the man on 60 Minutes.
Kevin Durant.
He's very sensitive. Great player. He's part of that generation who think he can't be criticized. He's never looked in the mirror and says, man, was that a fair criticism?
We're in agreement. Today's players are a little more sensitive to criticism than your
generation.
That would
be an understatement.
Okay. Good. But then even moving on, Kevin Durant, he answered on Twitter, of course, that's what he did. He responded directly to the video. And he said, this ain't getting tiring, Chuck. I'll never respect the words that come out of your mouth. Just deal with it. And I'm saying, what are these guys going to be? Charles Barkley is going to be in a wheelchair. Kevin Durant will be 7 feet tall and almost in a wheelchair. And these two dudes will still have issue with each other? Like, I got to admit, from Kevin Durant's perspective, it is getting tiring. And then from a Charles Barkley perspective, we hear this, I feel like, once a week or once a month from Charles Barkley in some type of medium about how the players are different. It's like, yes, we know, we get it. I get it. I also am now tired of hearing Charles Barkley talk about how sensitive the players are. And I'm also tired of hearing about Kevin Durant responding to him. Maybe it's just the situation between these two. It's almost like Shaq a few years ago, where he was going at JaVale McGee. And it's just like, well, damn. A personal vendetta here? Like, just leave it alone. I hope Kevin Durant is healthy. I hope he can play for the Suns. I hope his body can hold up, and all the best to him. And Charles Barkley is funny. So more Charles Barkley, the better. But just no more Kevin Durant stuff. I'm through with that. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Dave is calling from Georgia. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Dave?
Well, I find this March Madness very refreshing. I've been watching the tournament for many, many years. The really neat thing about this whole thing is that we actually have a situation now that the shoe companies can't control. It's why all these California athletes end up in Lawrence, Kansas. If you've been there in the middle of wintertime, you can't figure out why they go there. But it has to do a lot with the shoe companies and the edges that the big-name schools have. And obviously the committee, with all its political machinations and everything that favors the big conferences, didn't get the seedings right when you have 2 5s, a 9, and a 4 there. So this is very exciting. And, JR, I love your show, and I love this discussion about it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dave. Appreciate you for calling from Georgia. And all the changes, I think, are here to stay. It's not going to be anything different. And then when it comes down to the shoe companies, yeah, we've seen how that runs. I don't want to say, why did so-and-so player go to Kansas? Every decision is led by money, okay? Let's all be clear here. Everybody wants to go where they can highlight themselves and make the most money. It's no different than you, me, or anybody else in the job market. And sometimes maybe you need to take a little bit of a haircut for the long run. But every decision is financially driven. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Baltimore and let's talk to Gavin. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Gavin?
Hey, what's going on, JR?
What's on your mind, please?
Hey, man, I just wanted to talk about Lamar and Baltimore. I mean, I'm a huge Lamar fan, but I think the whole contract situation with Deshaun Watson is, like, you know, messed things up for everybody. Because you're looking at a good chunk of money, you know, how are they going to pay everybody else? You saw, you know, they just released Calais Campbell, and it's like, you know, at this point, how are we going to build football teams if we're paying the quarterback everything? So I kind of side with the Ravens there. And, I mean, I love Lamar to death, but if, you know, if he has to go, like, I think, you know, it just is what it is at this point. And what do you think about it?
Oh, man, we talked about it earlier on in the show. I think this is a part of the show, and not the show as in some dramedy, but this is a part of the negotiations. He doesn't have leverage. That was my main point. And that might change as we get closer to the draft. That might change after the draft. But you can go ahead and tell everybody that you've requested a trade about a month ago. Well, what good is that doing you today if nobody wants you at that price? You know, and we can look at Deshaun Watson's deal. And certainly it screwed things up a little bit. But even if you look at the subsequent deals past Deshaun Watson, we can look at Russell Wilson. He ain't getting no guaranteed deal. I can look at Kyler Murray. He didn't get a guaranteed deal. And so we can kind of look at those and say, well, that was business as usual. And so I don't think Lamar today, this moment, this second, has a leg to stand on. Maybe things change in a month or 2 months, but I'm not so sure.
No, I definitely hear that, JR. I mean, nobody can run like Lamar, man, like ever. I mean, even like maybe Michael Vick, and, you know, people might disagree, but that movement in open field, I just don't want to see him, like, leave the Ravens, man.
Yeah, I totally understand, and I still think there's a good chance that he sticks around. And thank you so much, Gavin, for calling from Baltimore. Ralph is here from Miami. What's on your mind, Ralph?
Hey, JR. Thank you for having me on the call tonight. I'm glad that you brought the topic up because I was thinking about it all weekend because I heard one of your callers was complaining and say there was no number one in the tournament, so he wasn't going to watch. But I feel like it's good for college basketball because in a way it's just like not everybody that thinks number one, and just because they're number one, they're going to easily run the other team out of the conference, they realize it's not going to happen. So I think that is something good for college basketball, and I also think basically also to having like those 14 that never make it before, that's a good story. I don't know why people want to have the same thing over and over again. What would March Madness be without some madness? Because that right there is great madness compared to what we have seen every year. Every year we get the same team making it over and over. So this year we have something new. I would like to see Miami and, to be honest with you, and FAU make it, to be honest, at the end of the day. Because it will be good. It will be good for Florida all the way. So enjoy at least that tournament.
Yeah, that would be one hell of a final if we ended up with the two Florida schools there. Thank you, Ralph, for calling from Miami. That is certainly a reality. Could you imagine FAU up in Boca, and then you got the Hurricanes down in Miami? That'd be a cool story. Most of America might be like, I'm not into all Florida. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I don't care where none of the schools are from. I'd be tuning into that. That'd be pretty cool now that I think about it.
Did Ralph watch UConn versus the Zags, JR?
UConn, what about the Zags? They ain't here.
Did he watch that game?
Oh, what? Who, the gentleman we spoke to?
Does he not realize UConn is going to win this tournament?
Oh, well, you discounting Coach Larranaga?
No, I'm not discounting Coach L. I'm not trying to put him down in any way, shape, or form. He's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion, JR. But UConn looks like the team that is NBA bound. No other team can compete with them.
Well, can he have some hope in his team? The Canes?
Well, we just have to be realistic about this. Like this.
Yeah, but it would still be cool if it happened. Let him.
Okay.
Let him live. Let's not give him a 30-point ass whooping.
Okay.
In due time, Shep, in due time.
Fair enough. No, I know previews coming Thursday and Friday, but just Ralph sound overly optimistic about an All-Florida final. That's all I'm saying.
No, but it would. The point is, it would be a good story.
Would it be?
All-Florida? Or on Monday night to have Florida, you can drive from Boca to Miami. We'd get that. It'd be a cool story, yeah.
Okay. I mean, he'd be the oldest coach in the history of the NCAA tournament to win a national championship. And I know you're rooting for him as a Bronx native, but it's not. Okay, I'll stop.
I'm not talking about the basketball, man. Okay. I'm talking about the story. It'd be a cool story to have all Florida. Wouldn't it be a cool story?
I mean, I think it's already an amazing story, but I think this is where all I'm saying is...
We're talking specifically about the final.
It'd be an incredible story. It's already been an incredible story. A team that's never won a single tournament game is somehow in the Final Four, and another coach that no one ever thought would get back to Elite Eight. Not only did that, he eclipsed that and got back to a Final Four and was down 10 points
against Texas.
Right, same thing that happened in 2006. Like, it's already a great story, but the story's going to end. That's all I'm saying.
Damn.
Yeah.
Coach Larinick, I'm going to tell him when you talk to him again.
Well, you were caught off guard when he asked you about you being from the Bronx and telling your story. You're like, you know what, I'm not used to a Division I head coach with this kind of resume being so interested in my life. I thought that was very cool, by the way.
It's like, you know what part of the Bronx. Right. So I'm like, man, I don't remember you told me. I don't know.
Right, the SIDs are telling us, you know, these coaches are on a very tight, you know, turnaround. You can only have this amount of minutes. And Jim Larinaga wants to know where JR's from and his upbringing. That was so cool.
Like you from I'm from Parkchester. I'm like, okay, I know Parkchester. It's 6th train, man. Take the 6th train right over there. Anyway, we spoke to Jim Larinaga. But then when Jim Larinaga, when he ended up winning against Texas on Sunday, he spoke to the media. And he talked about going back to the Final Four and whether or not it felt the same like when he took George Mason to the Final Four. This is what Coach Larinaga had to say.
It's the same exhilaration, just the jubilant attitude, the effort, because you just love when your players accomplish a goal they set out before the season.
Oh, it's nice. And Shep thinks they're going to get beat up now. I hope not. I don't care, but there's a good chance UConn may smash them. Let's see what happens. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Let's get to some of your calls on the other side of the break. You know what? It's tough getting to the Final Four. Let's hear from some of the coaches that did not get there on the other side of the break. We just mentioned Gonzaga. Oh, they got smashed. Drew Timmy got in foul trouble, and I went to bed. I fell asleep because the ass-whooping was on. We'll hear from Mark Few, and we'll hear from some of the other unfortunate losers, and then we'll get to some of your calls. Yeah, that's not the losers section. My call is the winners. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
God bless, wish you well, and all the best, JR, because you really are my favorite sports DJ on the air.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. We were talking about some of the winners here who are going to the Final Four. Jim Larinaga is going. Danny Hurley is going with his world beaters from UConn. Dusty May is going, FAU. And then, unfortunately, we got some losers here that we won't hear of anymore. Florida Atlantic. They beat Kansas State over the weekend in Madison Square Garden. No Marquise Noel. He's done. He's out of the tournament. And they're classy up at Kansas State. Jerome Tang went over to Florida Atlantic and he congratulated them. And then he said, yeah, I'm just grateful for this entire season.
in the midst of probably one of the toughest things that, you know, experience with these guys, if we can't be grateful in these times, then all the love and joy that we talk about is fraud, and we're not frauds.
Okay. What about his star point guard? He was at home. He lost at home, Madison Square Garden. You think he was going to go out there and just show up and show out? Marquise Noel, he spoke after the loss, and he also gave credit to Florida Atlantic.
I feel like they were scrappier than we were. They got a lot of 50-50 balls. And, you know, they I feel like they wanted it more. But you know, my guys competed at a high level. I mean, we was picked to finish, you know, last in the Big 12. We made a historic run in March. I couldn't be more grateful and thankful. You know, I got to give a lot of credit to FAU for how they played.
How classy everybody is. The Gonzaga, they got smashed. Sorry, there's no classy way for me to say that. 82-54. Timmy got in foul trouble, and the game was basically over from there. Mark Few, not having a chance or an opportunity to get back to the Final Four, even win it all, he gave UConn a whole lot of love.
Yeah, hey, UConn was just terrific tonight, and, you know, we didn't have any answers, especially when kind of everything really didn't bounce our way, and you know, we can't absorb a game like that when our offense is as bad as it was tonight. But again, UConn deserves credit.
Credit isn't something that Greg McDermott of Creighton wanted to give to the officials. He wasn't happy at the end of the game. But despite that, despite the L, despite going home, Greg McDermott, he says, I'm proud of my own damn team.
Really proud of the team. You know, we've taken a step that nobody that's ever worn a Creighton uniform has taken. And that's really special stuff.
And there's one more loser. Sorry. He's actually a winner. He got a 5-year contract today. That's head coach of the Longhorns, Rodney Terry. After Miami fought back to beat them and knock them out and keep them away from the Final Four, after the game, Coach Terry was just very emotional after the loss. You can tell that he really loves his players. Get the Kleenex, Andy.
I mean, again, I love these guys. And not only will I just love these guys for the time I got a chance to coach them, I'm going to love them for the rest of their lives. I'll be at their weddings. I'll be with them, you know, talking to those guys when they have their firstborn. And, you know, it was all about this team, man. And I enjoyed every single day of this journey with this group. And I'm going to really miss working with this group. So it was never about me. It was always about these guys. And I love these guys.
Well, a little uncomfortable there, but he loves them. Well, what can I say? I can't relate. I ain't coach him. He did. And now he's going to have a chance to coach another set of young men and another set and another set and another set. He got a 5-year deal. And so let's see what the Longhorns can do moving on into the future. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Renee. Renee is calling from Michigan. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, hey, JR, you were to get me after that.
I'm
but,
sorry.
You know, JR, Texas, a lot of his guys started getting hurt, and I'm glad that he's going to be coach. Gonzaga, they made an awful lot of mistakes when they played UCLA. They was done. And so, and what I like, Shep, I'm going to go another way, JR. I can catch him before I get knocked down. But what I like about the women, ooh, I love it, JR, Iowa got the opportunity to play South Carolina. That's going to be good. And I also like LSU playing Virginia Tech. Kim Mulkey is good. She comes from Baylor, and I always liked it, Baylor. And she really uplifted LSU, a good program. That's
quickly
going to be good.
Yeah, fast.
And so, okay. And then in my closing, JR, I can't wait till the women's WNBA start because I can't wait to see Brittany Griner when she come back for the Phoenix Mercury and the Ogumike sisters that plays for the Los Angeles Sparks. So that's what I'm excited for.
Are they still on the set? Are they both on the Sparks? Isn't one of them kind of done?
They both signed their contracts.
Okay. Are you sure both of them?
Yeah, her and her sister.
Because I know the sister's always on ESPN. I know she's not as good as the other sister, but I
know her sister. And come to find out, JR, she's the oldest, not the one on ESPN, not her, the other one. She's the oldest.
Yeah.
But I
thought they were like the Antetokounmpo brothers, where you got one who's the star and the other one's the cheerleader.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just saying. The Nassus, what does the Nassus Antetokounmpo do? Nothing. He knows how to hand clap.
He sure do.
He does.
So, JR, I'm excited. I can't wait. So I'm going to still be sticking it out with you.
I appreciate you, Renee. Thank you so much for calling from Michigan. Always a pleasure. Yeah, I'm like, I think it's Nneka. I'm like, she just stands there while she's doing TV. The other sister's one of the best players in the WNBA. And I'm like, it's like a Antetokounmpo. Hey, Shep, if Giannis wasn't Giannis Antetokounmpo, would the Nassus be in the NBA?
No, he would not be.
He's a good
He's a good cheerleader, and he's a good teammate, and he's always going to have his brother's back. But the reality is, I mean, he's Udonis Haslem without having Udonis Haslem's career.
Wow.
And you know what I mean by that.
Udonis was angry on the bench the other day. He didn't do nothing. He was mad the team's getting his ass whooped. He's like, I got to do something to earn my paycheck. I'm going to be angry.
You know what? Go be a coach and stop using up a roster spot then, Mr. 42-year-old who hasn't played in 5 years. Please.
They actually dedicated a section 305 to Udonis Haslem in Miami Arena or whatever the hell they call it now.
Right.
They gave him an entire, I don't know how I would describe it. Like, they have painted the outside of the section on the concourse.
Yeah.
It's an homage to Udonis Haslem. The seats in the section and the little aisleway on the way to the seats. It's a nice dedication. I think it's pretty cool. Section 305 dedicated to Udonis Haslem. He did say, he made that clear, I think a month ago, maybe a little longer than that. He's done. This is it. And so I don't know where the Miami Heat goes. They're not one of the best teams in the East. We know who the top teams are. We know they don't quit. They should be competitive. But time is running out on Udonis Haslem. Hey, congratulations to him on a solid career. But he's been a good player coach, I guess, over the past several years. Just taking that money, why not? Take all of it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get some more of your calls before we roll out. It's 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. I'll get to your calls. And then for the hell of it, let's hear from Bill Belichick again. And let's also hear from Brian Gutekunst on Aaron Rodgers. It's fun. I'll play you those clips on the other side. I'll get to your calls. And then they're going to tell me to shut up and leave.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the first time I've ever listened to you, but I'm going to be listening a lot more. You're enjoyable. I want to start with that. First off, I love listening tonight for the first time.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to go from sweet to sour. Bill Belichick spoke to the media today, and that's always an exercise in just being miserable. And then I guess the Green Bay Packers have been miserable with the behavior of Aaron Rodgers. And a lot of the conversation all day on Monday surrounded Lamar Jackson and his trade request and letting everybody know that he did this publicly, or he shared his request publicly today. That's what folks talked about. But then there were the other elements. And we learned today also that, well, Aaron Rodgers didn't just decide to bail, or he didn't think that the Packers were just done with him. The Packers said, hey, we tried to reach out to Aaron Rodgers, and he didn't even return our calls to talk. This is Brian Gutekunst telling us about his communication, or lack of, with Aaron Rodgers.
You know, as we got out of the offseason, or after the season, and we had a good conversation, and then, you know, we're going to have some follow-up conversations. And our inability to reach him or for him to respond in any way, I think at that point, then we just kind of had to do my job and kind of reach out and understanding that a trade could be possible.
Yep. Look at all of this is all about a quarterback. Look at the drama that quarterbacks bring. You know, for years, people talked about how wide receivers were the divas, and it's always the wide receiver. Wide receiver stinking this up. Wide receiver think it's about me. Sean Johnson, give me the ball. I'm always about wide receivers. All this damn drama revolves around the QBs, whether it's Lamar or whether it's based around Aaron Rodgers or whether you're the New England Patriots and your lack of recent success is because of the departure of the all-time greatest quarterback. And so Bill Belichick gave an all-time quote today. Just an all-time response. He was asked why Patriot fans should feel, I don't know, comfortable with this rebuild, which is not being called a rebuild. And Belichick says, man, check my damn resume. Listen to this response.
Would you say anything to the fans right now as to where the team sits and what you're trying to put together? What would you say to them right now if they were listening to this?
Long way to go. It's March. We play in September. A long way to go. A lot of work to do.
And what would you say to them to give them a reason to be optimistic for what's ahead for the Patriots?
The last 25 years?
No. Well, I mean, the track record, Tom Brady ain't there, Belichick. So people supposed to feel thrilled? Tom Brady ain't there with you? 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Baltimore and let's check in with Corey. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Corey?
What's going on, my guy? I got a nice little message to my fellow Baltimoreans. How sorry that ass is to be on air and be in these bars talking about how Lamar should go. They realized this young man sat back after he won that MVP and watched them sign Pat Regard, Mark Andrews, Marcus Peters as he came in town, and he got, what, three straight interceptions, and they went on to sign him to that multi-year deal, Marlon Humphreys, Gus Edwards. You got five or six different players that this man sat back and watched them sign. They could have been signed to him well beyond then. But they didn't. And now you got John Harbaugh talking about how Lamar is his guy. You know, Lamar had his hand up his butt playing him as a puppet the whole time, man. You know what I'm saying? If that's really your guy, speak on your guy. Go to war for your guy. But these Baltimore fans, I'm not even a Ravens fan. My family and my house are Ravens fans. But Lamar, that young man balled out since he got into the league, my man. He balled out since he got to the league. And for me to sit here and go to the bars last night and sit here and listen to 105.7, my fellow sports station, and even listen to them guys put that man down about how he's being greedy about money. What? Be for real, man. How the hell are you trying to tell me that Daniel Jones is making more money than Lamar Jackson? That's a freaking joke, my man. A freaking joke.
Well, look, what is your football team?
We're not even going to talk about that, but he can come on to the Colts, though.
Oh, well, okay. Well, thank you, Corey. That's one too many butthole references for tonight, okay?
I feel you, man.
Okay, thank you, Corey, for Baltimore. It's like, hey, if he had a third shot at a reference, it was going to happen. I had to cut him off before it got there. Let's go to Southern California and talk to Vince. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Vince?
JR, great show as usual. Hey, I want to talk about San Diego State. In the tourney, they've gone nine deep. Coach Dutcher, he's had a very athletic team, and he's, I think going to win by a small margin over Florida Atlantic. But there's one thing that this run may do for San Diego State and their 31,000 students. It might lead them into the Pac-12 because with UCLA and SC leaving, I think this run is going to give them enough credibility that they're going to move up to the Pac-12, and their fans will be thrilled because San Diego is a big city. It's the eighth biggest city in the United States. So I'm hoping they win and can get in the Pac-12.
Okay. Well, thank you, Vince, for calling from Southern Cali. Ironically, FAU is moving on from Conference USA as well, and people got to chase the money. It still racks my brain that Creighton is in the Big East. They are in Omaha. I mean, and don't even get me started. On the football side, we got schools going into the Big Ten. It's just West Coast schools. I forgot what coach talked about all of the travel that is going to take place with all the teams moving conferences and everybody moving around. It's just, it's kind of nuts. Since you mentioned head coach Brian Dutcher, let's hear from him. This man talked about making a Final Four and all of the emotions surrounding it. Listen up.
Told the team in the locker room, they had the music going. I walked in and I told them, turn it down. I said, either sing, dance, or get out of the way. Aztecs are going to the Final Four. So here we are. We're making the next step. And it's something we've always talked about. And I'm sure there were people doubted we could do it, but we never doubted for a minute.
Yeah. Don't care about what people on the outside say. All that matters is what you feel on the inside of the room. And we spoke to one of their star players right before he participated in the Final Four, or excuse me, the Elite Eight over the weekend, Darion Trammell. He had a message. He spoke to us here on CBS Sports Radio, and this is what he had to say to all you Aztec fans out there.
It's been a long road for San Diego State. We appreciate all of you through the ups and downs. And, I mean, right now, I ask you guys to stay with us and keep supporting us, and we'll keep playing hard for you and make sure we keep winning games one by one at a time. So we definitely appreciate you all.
Oh, that's sweet. You know what's sad about this, Shep? At the end, there's going to be a bunch of people crying, man. And they're going to capture it on CBS. And then we'll see a bunch of players crying. And then we might see a coach cry. And then they'll find some miserable cheerleader who is just beside herself. And she will be crying. There's just going to be a lot of tears by the time we finish up with this Final Four and crown a champ. There's going to be tears of joy. And then there's going to be tears from a loser.
Oh, you got that right. But I will repeat what I said. JR, we know there is a clear-cut favorite. If you watch what they did in the second half to Gonzaga, what they're doing in every single second half this tournament, there is nobody that can stay in front of UConn, and there is no one that can get by them on the perimeter, on the interior. JR, this is Dan Hurley's first national title, and I couldn't be prouder.
So you're telling me that Miami going to be the one crying?
Man, yes. He's such a good dancer, too. I don't want to see a 73-year-old cry. Yeah, you know what? I mean, there's...
You don't want to see him cry? I mean, he's not going to cry.
Listen, Norchad Omir is a great guy. We've had him on the show. They're such a good program to root for. They do things the right way. They're classy individuals. But, yeah, I mean, they made a Final Four, first time in program history. But, again, that's going to end against UConn. They're going to play the big boys, the real big boys, four national championships. They never get talked about among college basketball dynasties, JR.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right. Well, let's try to get one more call in before we got to roll. Todd is calling from Hawaii. Todd, quickly, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR. Not too nervous tonight to talk to you after the Knicks game. I thought I'd get some flowers tonight, but I'm not going to talk about the Kings. We all know we're about to clinch. We're about to get Murray the record for threes. But Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and the way these guys get fluffed versus Lamar Jackson, you know, it's pretty hard not to look to the deeper issues, and I'll let everybody figure out what that means. And finally, what's with Gonzaga? Why can't they do it every year? And finally, why can't they get a rule so the players don't jaw at the refs? Only the coaches talk about the calls in the NBA. Thank you. I love you. We'll be talking about the beam soon. I'm out.
Thank you, Todd, for calling from Hawaii. The only people in Sacramento care about that campy-ass light that they have to light up after victories. The other part, what was the other thing he said? Lamar Jackson is getting crap because he's black. Is that what he said, but he didn't want to say it? I don't think so. Look, Aaron Rodgers, in the court of public opinion, gets the crap kicked out of him for just being an arrogant, just piece of work. And so I don't want to go in that direction. I don't necessarily agree with that. And then, I don't know, maybe Mark Few needs to pick up another 29-year-old Shep, what is he? How many more years of eligibility?
He's only 22, I believe. He does have one more year of eligibility, but JR,
22.
But all these guys do because of what happened with COVID. So he's not an exception.
Drew Timmy's been in NCAA basketball for like 30 years.
Well, and he looks older than 22. Let's be real about that.
He's probably about 45. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm here with you now, but I'm about to not be. I'll be back with you tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. 7 Pacific. Thank you so much to Shep and for you listening. The JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. It's a wrap. But don't move. Don't go anywhere. Why? Because Amy Lawrence, she's awesome, and she's coming up next. Have a good night, folks.